Well, I'm going to continue to share this afternoon the way that some call heresy. Do you know what the meaning of a heretic is?
A heretic? I've been picking them off the dog.
Heretics! Oh my.
I found some heretics.
A heretic is someone who doesn't believe like you do. That's a heretic. Well, we've been sharing a lot about truth this weekend. And you know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The way we understand that word today, that's not true. A lot of people know the truth that aren't free. When Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," that word "no" does not mean in the original language what we take it to mean. To us, to know just means to know something intellectually. But when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth and the truth will make you free," it would be better said this way in English: "You shall experience the truth and the truth will then make you free." You can't be free unless you experience the truth. You can know all about it intellectually, but you have to experience the truth. That was a hard saying this weekend for many people when you say that the cross causes separation and division. But that's exactly what it does, because you are taught, like I said this morning, you are taught that you were born as a lowlife, as a sinner, as weak and separated from God. Therefore, if you believe that, then I guess you need the cross to make you feel better. But the truth is, we are light beings. A light being is a being of eternal life. I often share that if you ever get a glimpse of your light body, and that is possible, believe me, if you ever see your light body, you will be changed forever. And when you begin to experience some of these things we're sharing, you'll begin a journey that is indescribably delicious. We have to get out of this concept that we are humans. If you believe, right today, if you believe you are a human, you will never experience what we're talking about. Because a human cannot be godly. It's impossible. And that's why Jesus himself said, "I of mine own self can do nothing." Because as a man, walking around in a human experience, cannot do anything spiritually. You have to become aware, consciously aware, of the truth of your being, and you will see miracles happen all around you. You won't have to lay hands and pray for somebody to see them changed or healed. Your very presence will bring change to people. Your very presence will, out of you will proceed light that will enlighten people that surround you. The words that you speak, even though they can't be accepted with the mind, the words that you speak are spirit that will enter into the very depths of people's consciousness. And even though their mind will fight, their mind will be against what you're saying, the very word that you speak will bring light that eventually they will walk into the truth. See, that you, people talk about power. I don't like to use the word power, but that's the substance of God that's in each of us to create change in the hearts and in the lives of those around us. I don't like to talk too much about myself, but I'm going to do that a little bit today. I've walked in a room. I know the first time I ever visited Oregon, I went there to minister, and I walked in this house, and as I walked through the living room, the host was taking me to my bedroom. As I walked to my bedroom, there was a teenage boy sitting in the house, her son, and he said, "Mom, did you feel the peace that came in the house when Gary walked in? Aww. Did you feel that?" You see, that's not a human. Humans don't have that ability. But the very substance of who you are. And that's what all humanity longs for, is the reality and the substance of who they are. You see, religion deals with the man who believes he is human. That's what religion does. It deals with you as though you are human, and because you are human, and you're fallen, and you're a sinner, then religion is going to try to help you become better. Yep. And a human that is trying to become a god is the abomination of desolation. See, whenever the human sits in the temple of God and declares himself to be God, that's the abomination of desolation. There are humans all over the world, and I was one of them, trying to become like God. That's the deception, because you are who he is. You can't be anything else. Your mind can convince you you're something else, but you can't be. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, speaking, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began." I've often shared that before you ever stepped a physical foot on this earth, you were given everything that you could possibly need to fulfill your mission on this earth. I had no idea what my mission was for years. All I knew was I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like the apostles. And like I said this morning, not knowing that, that was who I already was. I just didn't know it. All things were given us in Christ before the world began, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Yet we still strive, thinking that there's something we have to overcome. But the gospel brings life and immortality to light. That word immortality is really not the correct word. That word should be incorruptibility. That's the correct word. So the gospel brings life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. You see, the gospel is to reveal to you, you are an incorruptible life. You cannot be corrupted. And that life that you have is eternal. And it has always been eternal. You cannot die. And the real you has never been born. I've probably shared this here before, but in case I haven't, Isaiah 9:6 says, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." You see, my mother had a child that brought forth this physical being, but a son was given The Son was my eternal being that was given to this body. We were all born. This body was born, but you were never born. You simply lowered your existence, lowered your vibration to enter into this form. Another lie that we've been taught is that ego is bad. We all believe that. Ego is bad. Ego is not bad. It's what you allow the ego to do and become. Because the ego is what gives you your five senses. Your ego is gives you your taste, your sight, your smell. And the ego just needs to be submitted to the spirit. That's the only problem with the ego. We somehow, and it's only by revelation, we have to get rid of the God that's been formed in our mind. And you have to know that you cannot do anything to influence God. Yeah. I remember when I used to fast, pray all the time, thinking that my fasting and my prayer would get God to do something that I needed done. It doesn't work that way. You are quite capable of doing anything that needs to be done. I shared something when I was with Mike in North Georgia in January. And Martha from New Zealand, hi Martha, if you're watching, wrote to me and she said she was really impressed by what I said and she wanted to hear it again, so I told her where to get the video. Mike has mentioned it already. There is no such thing as a personal sense of life. And Paul understood that, at least to a degree. Because he said in Romans chapter 7, if I do what I don't want to do, and how many of us, I'm sure we've all been there. If you've been seeking after God, it simply means you haven't found Him. And so then you're going to experience this if you're seeking God. Every time I try to do good, I find that evil is present with me. I tried for 13 years to be good. Never worked. Oh, at fleeting times, I could be good and obey God. But there was always that something that would raise up in me. And I'd resist, and I'd resist, and I'd resist, but eventually I'd give in to it. Because I would try so hard to be good and not do it, but every time that desire would overpower me. And when it did, then I would fall into guilt and condemnation because I couldn't measure up and live to my goals. Well, Paul says, if that's your experience, it's not you that's doing that. It's that principle, that carnal mind, that principle of sin and death that pulls you down into the works of the flesh. But that's not you, because you are a son of God. But then later on in Philippians, he goes on to say, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. That's the revelation that we all have to have somehow. So if you're living a life of disobedience, it's not you. And if you're living a life of righteousness, it's not you. If you're doing everything wrong and you're finding that principle that's pulling you down into sin and death, you know you're living by the carnal mind. And once the mind of Christ begins to be resurrected in you, then again you'll realize, that's not me. The first time I ever spoke in a church, and I'll never forget it, Carol was there, we weren't married yet. I was so scared. I didn't know if I was going to do it. I was so scared the Sunday morning when it came, because I was asked me to teach in a Pentecostal church. I was so scared, I got up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I prayed, and I begged God, man, I don't know if I can do this. I was so scared. And I'll never forget, when the preacher called me up to share, I literally walked up there with shaking like this. And being a Pentecostal church, they all thought I was anointed in the Holy Ghost. But I'll never forget, folks, I took that microphone. And when I took that microphone, something come over me like a blanket. And I began to speak, and I spoke on beholding and reflecting. I will never forget that. I spoke for about 40 minutes. At that time, I couldn't even talk to a stranger for 5 minutes. So when I was finished, I'll never forget, I went in the bathroom and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I said, I know that wasn't me. That couldn't have been me. I could never do that. I could never speak like that. You see, and that's been my experience. I can't do right now. I can't do what I'm doing. It's not in my human abilities. I don't have the expression. If you sit down and talk to me one-on-one, I can't express. But when something comes over, and you just submit to it, out of your innermost being flows wells of living water. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives within me. Like I say, when you begin to walk in that, you will see miracles all around you that you know you had nothing to do with. It's simply because you've come into the awareness of who you are. Mike mentioned the book of Revelation this morning. It's one of the most misunderstood and hardest to understand books in the whole Bible. But when it begins to open to you a little bit, and that's all I can say for myself, it's opened to me a little bit, you realize that's not a history book, and it's not a book about the future. It's the unveiling and the revealing of Christ in you. There are two kingdoms. There are two lives. There are two laws, and there are two results in the universe. One of these kingdoms, one of these lives, one of these results is really a lie. But in our experience, they're true. The two kingdoms are the carnal life and the spiritual life. The carnal life for me and many for years is we're born again Christians and we're trying the best we can to do what God wants us to do. But we're miserable failures. That's the first kingdom. And then there's the kingdom of God, which is the spiritual life, where you never again have to seek for anything. I'd like to have a dollar for every time I've said, I woke up on July 11th, 1982, a new man. Since that day, I have not had to seek God. I have not tried to overcome. I can't say I've never tried after that. How could you try? Let me put it this way. Do you have to try to be a human being? No. Do we get up in the morning and say, I've got to be human today? No. Well, I used to get up in the morning and say, I've got to live like God today. I don't have to do that anymore. The carnal kingdom is the law of sin and death. Again, trying to do everything you can, but looking at yourself and understanding yourself as a human, it is impossible for you to do what you're trying to do. It can't be done. You can improve your life somewhat. You can create a little better self-image of yourself, but that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the law. Remember I said there are two laws. The second law is the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ. Once you tap into that life that we all are, you no longer are concerned about the law of sin and death. There are two cities in the book of Revelation. The New Jerusalem and Babylon the Great Harlot. Uh-oh. I'll never forget the first time I experienced the New Jerusalem. I was looking for that city to come down out of the sky. But John said, I, John, saw that holy city descending out of heaven from God. I experienced that one day. That's the consciousness of the Father heart. The consciousness of the Father descending into your consciousness, raising your consciousness out of the pit of hell. All right. And setting your feet upon a rock. That's the New Jerusalem. It's not a place to go to when you die, and it's not something in the future. The New Jerusalem is very active in a people on the earth today, living in the city of God, being the city of God, manifesting the city of God. That's the New Jerusalem. And then we have Babylon, the great harlot. I'm going to read to you what Revelation says about the great harlot. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials. I got to stop right there. Revelation talks a lot about judgment. And the religious teachers talk about insects as big as helicopters and these monstrous bugs. And the book of Revelation is about destroying the image of yourself as a carnal human being. Wow. The battle of Armageddon is the final battle, and that's the battle between your mind and your spirit. The book of Revelation is about tearing down the carnal man and raising up the man in the fullness of God. So there came out one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore. This is talking about religion. I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Who are the kings of the earth? It's not Queen Elizabeth and King Henry. We are the kings of the earth. That's who we are. Right now, we are ruling and reigning with Christ. We are. And not in the traditional sense of the word. We rule over nobody. We judge nobody. But the kings of the earth have committed fornication with this harlot. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Well, there's people all over the world that's drunk with the wine of religion. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-colored beast. Well, what does religion portray in many cases? Robes of scarlet and purple and all of the forms or rituals. I saw a woman set upon a scarlet beast full of names of blasphemy. Baptist, Pentecostal, Christian. See, Paul says, we don't even name the name of Christ. You who are calling yourself of Paul, of Apollos, you're simply in division. He showed me that beast full of names of blasphemy. And that's why the call in Revelation is, come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her plagues. See, if you sit in a church system, you will partake of that plague, because you will be told what a sinner you are. You'll be told how wrong you are. You'll be told how you were born and conceived in sin and separated from God. You got to come out of that mess. Are you going to partake of the lies? Living as a mortal man, having a personal sense of life, you'll always be striving and wanting and desiring what you don't have. As a spiritual man, you will desire nothing. But yet, you'll have everything you need. In most cases, you'll have everything you want without the desire to do so. Man was never meant to work by the sweat of his brow. I'm only hesitating because I want to be sure I should say what I'm going to say. We're about to be thrust into full consciousness. That's what the kingdom on earth is all about. You becoming fully, consciously aware of who you are. When that happens, all you have to do is have a need and it'll be manifested. Wow. You won't have to go out and till the ground to have food, because anything that you need will be you can manifest before you. You see, believing is not a mental power. Being positive and speaking positive is certainly better than speaking negative and thinking negative. But mental gymnastics won't help us. Only what helps us is what we believe in our heart and then speak with our mouth. We have to know the truth. And if you know the truth, why are you speaking something else? And I know at times we all do it. But we need to be made aware, which I am. And these days, when I speak that way, I'm quickly made aware. The scripture said there's a group of people on the earth who are always learning, but yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, I was that way for years. I was always learning, always seeking for more truth, seeking for more understanding. I used to read sometimes 2 books a day, seeking something that I already had. Going to God for anything simply proves you do not yet have the experience of a son of God. To experience a spiritual life is absolutely unbelievable to most people. I sometimes minister in a foreign land and never go there. And I don't mean by internet or books. I had a lady call me up one time and she said, "Gary, I've been listening to you for a long time and I've never seen you. She said, I noticed you had some videos. Could you send me one of your videos? So I sent her one of my videos. She called me up after she saw that video, and she was weeping. And she said, Gary, I can hardly believe this. But she said, I was really ill one time. And she said, you came into my room. I recognized when I saw you in the video, that's the man that came into my room and spoke healing over me. That's one example of more, but I won't say too much. You've heard of out-of-body experiences. Let me tell you, they're true. Mm-hmm. You don't want to seek them, but they're true. Carol could tell you some stories. She said the other night, I woke her up and I had my hands up in the air and I was speaking. The area that we're beginning to walk in, how could you compare it to a human life? The spiritual life is the life we were all meant to live. Paul had an experience, and we can have it too. And he said in Galatians chapter 1, I testify to you, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not according to man. I can tell you this gospel that we're preaching isn't according to man either. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. Now when Paul began to have these visions, if he'd have went to Jerusalem and tried to share them with the elders in Jerusalem, they would have shut him down in a heartbeat. And that's what will happen to you when you begin to see and experience these truths. Now let me tell you, there's a people all over this world today who have been prepared and ready to hear this message. This is not going to be a move of a remnant of people. This is going to be a massive move of God take place. Of people becoming aware, consciously aware of their true being. Paul said in Romans, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And that's the only way any of us will ever be free from the law of sin and death, is to become aware of the spirit of life that's in us. You see, we are the garden. We are the garden. And the seed of life, the Christ that we are, was planted in this garden. And this seed of life in us became lost conscious awareness of who we were, where we came from, and why we are here. Within us was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I don't know how many of you study science or any of that stuff, but science has pretty much proven that your brain, you could say the left side of your brain is a tree of knowledge and the right side is a tree of life. And what the Spirit does is bring a balance and marries those two so they become one. And then you operate in a balance of left brain, right brain, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. But we were placed in this garden. And we either walk according to good and evil, or we walk according to life. So think about this. Every time you look at someone and say, they're evil, or even if you look at them and say, they're good, you're working out of the wrong tree. I love what Mike reminded us of this morning. Jesus said, my Father judges no man. So why are they teaching about all the judgment out there in the Christian world? They're teaching about this great white throne judgment where every man will stand before God and the books will be opened. That happens every day of your life. Your books are being opened. You are the book. It's not some future judgment that's coming. Now, somebody was wrong here. Either Jesus was wrong, or the religionists of today are wrong. Let me tell you something about the Bible. You may not believe this either, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Bible contains some of the most revelatory, beautiful information you'll ever receive, if you can receive it spiritually. But on the other hand, there has been a lot of manipulation with that word in the translations. Some things were put in there to keep you in a mindset of being in bondage and separation. Purposely. That's the truth. The Bible has been used to justify slavery. It's been used to keep women in bondage for years. When was it women got some freedom? And around the 1700 something, they couldn't even vote. Couldn't speak in church because Paul said, let the women keep silence in the church. Well, they've spiritualized that and they said he meant your soul. No, he didn't. He didn't. He meant what he said. Let the women keep silence in the church. They got no business speaking in church. Well, that's why some pastors won't let women speak in their church. Because Paul said, let them shut up. Women today, for the most part, have more revelation than men. But don't let them talk in the church. The thief comes to kill, to steal and destroy. Who's the thief? You thinking you're a man? It's your mind that kills and steals and destroys. Any truth that might come to you, that mind will try to steal it, trample it underfoot, and destroy it until you wake up, until you realize that Christ is living as us, not just in us. But see, you will never be God, but he will be everything in you. You can never become like him, but he'll become everything that you are in reality, in the spirit. So let's not somehow there's no way to do it. It's just being brought to us today, the understanding and the unveiling that's been put over our eyes. Revelation said there's coming a day when the veil that's been put over the flesh will be removed. That veil is the carnal mind. And those veils are being lifted so that we can see and walk in the truth of being. Well, let's take a break and we'll hear what Mike has to say.
Thank you. Okay, thank you everybody. We'll be back in about 15, 20 minutes. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. I don't know, this is remarkable.